Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
Sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud and calls his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. And I see prophecies fulfilling. You know the signs of the times. Well, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. My children, and at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise. When my Jesus steps out to meet him in the air. when my Jesus comes again. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn. I hope you truly say, welcome here, Lord Jesus. As he walked the streets of this earth, they said, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Let's say it ourselves this morning. Welcome him here. He has made the promise that where two or three of us are gathered, he told us in Matthew 18, there he is in the midst. The
name of Jesus is a refuge, a shelter from the storm, a help to those who call. The name of Jesus is a fortress, a saving place to run, a hope unshakable. When we fall, you are the Savior. When we call, you are the answer. There is power.
Let all that you have made bring glory to your name. When we fall, you are the Savior. When we call, you are the answer. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken in your name. Every knee will bow down and our heart will cry out. Savior, when we call, you are the answer. There is power in your name. 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 In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken in your name. Every knee will bow down and our hearts will cry out. Songs of freedom in your name.
Sing the chorus again.
In the name of Jesus, there is life and healing. Chains are broken in your name. Every knee will bow.
I was out there in Dale City, Texas, at the Guadalupe Peak, the tallest peak in Texas. And this fellow was showing me those farms of cotton, raised 5 bales to the acre, and all those things, you know, and I was so proud for him. But anyhow, the Lord gave me this song on the way home, and Nella hadn't practiced it today. She might not even sing it. Don't know. But, we have stood here in this valley. You have shown me all this land. You say you own that mountain to the smallest grain of sand. Your claim is on this river, on this soil so rich and rare. Now what about that blue sky? Do you have your name up there? It's so good to say I know you, and I'm happy that you know me. But do you know the giver who gave all this to thee? It's not wrong to own this valley. To have wealth is not a sin. But if your days have number, after all of this, what then? Now please don't think I'm jealous or I envy your success. For heaven is my witness, I wish for you the best. This could be my final meeting with you, my dearest friend. So I've got to know the answer. After all of this, what then? Yes, I've got to know the answer. After all of this, what then? Thank you. God bless you.
Psalms 139, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17 says, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with Thee. Go to verse 1, and that's our first point, examination. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know, David was a man who was a fearless man, a brave man, and yet he had some fears, and we've talked about them in the Psalms. But one day a giant by the name of Goliath came out, and Goliath challenged the armies of God. You remember that. I used to, as a young preacher 40-something years ago, back when I was just a young married fella, I used to say that he came out and gave the cry that every woman gives at some point in her life, give me a man that we may fight together. And that's what he actually cried. And so nobody would go out and face him. But a little old shepherd boy, I'm convinced he was very athletic. We read later how he said he ran through a troop. We read later how he said he leaped over a wall, no small feats. By the way, that troop that he ran through, let me just tell you that those were enemies. Those were not friends. They had swords. We watch a football game, and they run through a bunch of guys trying to knock them down. Those guys that David ran through were trying to cut his head off as he went by. And when he leaped over that wall, he leaped in, it was an attack where he went in down among enemies, you see. And so David was a very fearless man. But I believe it was far more terrifying to David to look into his own heart. I believe it was far more terrifying to David. I believe he had more fear of God than he had of Goliath. You understand what I'm saying? He feared God more than he feared Goliath. And a healthy reverence for God is certainly a good thing. And so, you see, we know biblically, we know instinctively that hypocrisy cannot stand the bright light of solemn examination. And so when God comes and God begins to search us, He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And that has to do with examination. God, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He's here, and He's walking through His people with a plumb line in His hand to see who's upright. And so that examination, I don't know about you, but I think that's serious stuff. And then the second thing is observation. He said in verse 2, Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. How far does this examination go? It is complete, total observation. God sees you when you're laying down. He sees you when you're getting up. In fact, He said in verse 4, there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord,
Lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. So observation, everything you've ever done, ever will do, has been recorded. God put in your own brain a little cranial recorder called a brain, and the mind uses the brain. Information is recorded, and anytime God wants to, He can push replay and rewind and help you to remember what you try to deny ever happened, you see. And He's got it all recorded. And I want to tell you, being omnipresent and omniscient, He's got it recorded from every angle. See, it doesn't matter what angle you want to look at it from, God has it recorded. That is observation, knowing that God is always watching. And then number three is meditation and comprehension. He said in verse 5, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Now, I think that's something that I need to spend time in meditation on and get comprehension. Number one, I can't, anywhere I've been, He's following up behind me. Thank God for that. But anywhere I'm going, He's ahead of me and leading the way. You see, I don't know what I'll run into, but I won't run into anything that He hadn't seen before. You know, I often get amused at Christians. They act like they're the first one to ever go through this. And, you know, and the Bible says, no temptation's taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Aren't you glad that when you follow God, He's going before you? And I need to realize that. And that brings me to the next point, is realization and celebration. And I'm going to pick it up in the last part of verse 5. Has laid Thine hand upon me. To think that God has touched me. Hey, by the way, if you've ever been saved, God has touched you. I mean, there was a time when God laid His hand on you. And when He laid it on you, first of all, it might have been in conviction. Conviction always precedes conversion. There is no such thing as conversion without conviction. And if you ever get to wondering if you really were saved, one of the examination factors is, did you experience Holy Spirit conviction? Did you know you were lost and in need of a Savior? And so He laid His hand on you. And then, of course, in mercy, look in verse 6, this realization, celebration. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. In other words, He said, God, to know that You care about me, whenever I realize and I meditate, I have meditation and comprehension, and I enter into realization that You love me, well, then it automatically leads me into celebration. The child of God can rejoice. Psalm 63:3, the psalmist said, Thy loving kindness is better than life, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. He said, My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. Thus will I bless Thee. I lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. He said, My mouth will praise You with joyful lips. By the way, if you don't have a look of joy when you're praising God, even little children can look up and say, you know, you're talking joyful words, but you're not showing joyful expression. He said, notice, He said, I'll praise You with joyful lips. Verse 5. Verse 6, 63:6. He said, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate upon Thee in the night watches. Verse 7, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. You see, there's a logical sequencing to this. Well, first of all, when I begin with that solemn examination, God is watching me. He's searching me. He knows me. He's observing me. He's observing everything that I do. And I begin to meditate upon that. Instead, it starts out maybe in a little bit of terror, but it ends up in joy when I realize that He loves me, that He laid His hand on me, that He's constantly taking care of me, that He's going before me, He's following behind me, He's beside me, He's above me, He's beneath me. Amen? I can't go anywhere that He's not there, the psalmist said. And that'll lead me to my next point, number 5, which is appreciation. He said in Psalms 139:7, He talks here about all the places where God is with him. And let's go to verse 10. Verse 10, He said, even there shall Thy right hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. God, hold my hand. God, hold my hand. I can't make it without You. You know, I still believe that God leads people. I was in Dallas one day, and a fellow said to me, he said, I heard you say you believe the Lord had led you to do a certain thing. Now, I was going to school, and I was a young preacher, and I was preaching a little church, helping them kind of get out of a financial jam. And so I was working at a secular job, and I'd been doing some witnessing out there. And by the way, we saw about 6 or 8 people saved out there. My immediate supervisor got saved, a number of my co-workers, and God just gave us souls. I baptized a number of those people. But there was another fellow that worked there who was kind of a skeptic, you know, a critic. And he said, "I heard you say that you believe that God led you to do a certain thing." He said, "I don't believe God leads people." He said, "When somebody says something like that," he said, I'm immediately skeptical of them. He said, "People run around saying, I believe God led me to do this." And so I looked him straight in the eye and I said, "Well, brother, you decide. But the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God or the sons of God. So if you don't know anything about being led by God about something..." Does everybody understand what I'm saying? If you're saved, somewhere or another, the Lord's going to lead you to do something. He's going to lead you to speak to somebody. He's going to lead you to hand somebody a tract. He's going to lead you to do something if you're saved sooner or later. And I like where it goes from there. It says, "Thy right hand shall hold me." I'm in Psalms 139:10. That brings me to number 6, which is submission. And it's actually verses 11 through 13, 15 and 16. And it talks about how that our whole life belongs to Him. How that before we were even born in the womb, He's been watching over us. And I know that somebody may say, "Well, I don't see how you get submission out of that." Well, I just think I ought to submit to the one that made me and the one that brought me into being. And so submission, I need to give my life to Him. And then number 7 is determination. In verse 14, Psalms 139:14, He said, "I will praise Thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Begin to praise Him. The Bible says that the Lord, it teaches that the Lord inhabits praise. And if you want the manifestation of His presence, just begin to praise God, you see. We read earlier that every word that's in our tongue, He listens to. If we'll have determination and say, "God, I'm going to praise You." That's what in verse 14, "I will praise Thee." Nothing the devil does is going to stop me from praising God. "I will praise Thee."
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.